Hello, friends. Welcome. This is Into the Void with Scott Fardella. I'm your aforementioned host. We are no longer sponsored by Southpaw Cat Cafe. Not because the cafe is not awesome, but because the cafe is no longer in business. That's right. Southpaw closed its doors permanently on Friday, June 1st, so my life is a little chaotic right now. My guest today is Melissa Epen. She's an entrepreneur. If you're local, you may know her as the owner of Improbable Escapes or from one of her many other ventures. She's a great person. She's ambitious, well-traveled, and super down-to-earth. So I was looking forward to this conversation for quite a while. If you're hoping to hear about what happened with the cafe, we don't really get into it with this episode, but Melissa and I are going to record another episode on Tuesday just to give everyone some insight. Melissa's a business owner herself, and she's been through a lot of the same things, so look for that episode on Wednesday morning. For now, please enjoy this fun, lighthearted convo with my friend, Melissa Epen. We're off to the races. Melissa Epen, welcome.
Hello. Welcome to me. Yay.
So, just before we started recording, we were talking about the whole situation with Roseanne and the racist tweet that, the controversy surrounding that. So, if you're not familiar with it, over the weekend, Roseanne Barr of the show Roseanne, which was doing phenomenally well from all accounts, I guess, she tweeted, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ, Valerie Jarrett, the former advisor to President Obama. And Melissa and I were just discussing whether it was racist or whether the outcome was justified. If you're not familiar, the show was canceled. Everyone that was working on the show is now out of work. And Melissa, please, your thoughts.
I have so many mixed feelings about the situation. So I will admit that I do have a heightened sensitivity meter, I suppose, to racist or anything that can come across as racist just because I am a person of color. So first off, whoever Roseanne's PR person is pretty great, because I literally could not find the tweet, and it took me a long time to find the tweet.
I know, so, even right after it happened, I couldn't.
PR person, I guess. I don't know. Like, I think we're living in a time of high racial tension in general. Like, I think somehow we've taken like 20 steps backward ever since Trump became president, and I feel like it brought out a lot of closeted racists. And the thing is, I think with this tweet in general, specifically, is that say Roseanne Barr didn't mean anything of it. Like, say she was on Ambien and didn't realize why this would, like, I guess, affect people as history. People have been history have compared people of color to apes in a very derogatory term. Yeah. I think the problem is that a lot of people saw it. It was racist and was like, yeah, I agree with that for racist reasons. Because mm-hmm. I think now people that are racist kind of have a soapbox of sorts to stand on, which is unfortunate.
They have legitimacy That's now because of Trump. Trump lends legitimacy to it. But that was my point before we started recording, was that Trump has said far more inflammatory things about people of color, and nobody cares that much. Like, people care, but nothing's happened to him, and that is mind-blowing to me, that he can just continue to say things, and nothing happens. How is that not more infuriated? He's running the country, and people are just like, ah, it's fine. Or even, ah, it's not fine, but what can we do?
I genuinely wonder if, okay, like, Trump internationally is both seen as a businessman and reality TV star, like, before he even became president, Obviously. And, I wonder if it was just so expected of him to be a misogynist and a racist that now that it's happening, people are like, okay.
You knew what you're getting into.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was going to happen.
True. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, people could be just like, you know what you're getting into with Trump, so Yeah, you can't act surprised now that you voted for him that this is what you're getting. But Roseanne is a comedian. I mean, maybe not a very good one, but comedians... I was listening to Chris D'Elia, and he was saying that all comedians have said things at one point or another that, you know, fell flat or whatever. Maybe she's racist. Maybe she was just making a joke. But I don't know. I think to be labeled a racist the way she has been, you shouldn't crucify a person because of one thing they've said, you know? Or maybe you should. I don't know. But, God, that's... I mean, millions and millions of dollars she just missed out on, and everybody that worked on that show because of one little tweet. And my question is, do you think it's legitimate outrage? Like, do you think beyond social media, these people actually feel it in their core? Because I'm always leery about social media that way.
Yeah, well, social media is garbage. I hate social media for so many reasons. But in terms of the tweet... Like, okay, I get it. Like, I get it from a from a perspective of, it's like time and time again, Black people and people of color are compared to apes. Like, there's so many even pictures of it. There's so many comparisons. Like, it's just so horrible. Like, even when it comes down to, like, this comparison of why Black people were slaves and why... Like that comparison to apes and stuff like that. So I understand why
the sensitivity to it.
Such a sensitive note for people. Like, I think Wanda Sykes actually posted that she would not be returning to Roseanne before it was announced that Roseanne was canceled.
Yeah, I think of that tweet. Who was it? Whitney Cummings also bailed on Whitney Cummings had bailed on Roseanne before they canceled it as well.
Yeah. So I mean it did seem to affect a lot of people, and I can totally see why. And I think right now people are going to be made examples of, right? Like, I think everyone wants to show that tolerance is bad, and it sucks that a lot of people lost their jobs over this, and there was so much wasted money. But I think right now Hollywood specifically is going through this period of, they have to show that racism and misogyny and everything else isn't really being stood for, especially with all the sexual harassment. Like, there's so many shows that are being canceled. There's so many actors that are being, like, put out of jobs, essentially, for allegations that are now arising. So
yeah, did
I think
you,
it's just a weird climate in general.
Did you, so two things. What was I going to say? I wanted to segue into Morgan Freeman, because I saw a video about that accusation as well. But with Roseanne, do you think the news media fans the flames of that a little bit? Because I feel like these types of things are so, like, with media traditionally, if it bleeds, it leads. Everybody knows that murders and things like that are more common to see in that 24-hour news cycle, because that's what gets clicks. And if they've got, like, a sensational story, true or not, or really legitimately something of substance or not, they'll blow it up because they know it'll get reactions. And I feel like that's what's happened. Because, like, do you think people are going to remember this in a week? Like, I don't. Nobody is even going to care in a week. So... Are people actually outraged by this, or are they just like, that kind of sucks, and then they click it and that's it? Because I feel like that's more what it is. Like, I get that it's a sensitive thing, and we should all be aware of those issues, but, like, it's, that happened so fast. She literally lost the show within an hour of that tweet. It was so quick. And I don't necessarily disagree with what had happened, but, like, I don't know if that reaction time is a good thing, because you see it with the celebrities too. Like with Morgan Freeman, that guy was crucified within, you know, how quickly he's worked. He said this himself. He's worked, like, his whole life. He's whatever, 84, and he completely denies these claims by this one woman anyway. And he's saying, like, I've worked my entire life and you're trying to bring this down over something that didn't happen. And in the court of public opinion, he's already guilty because those accusations make him guilty. But I saw that video. Have you seen that video at the CNN?
No, I haven't.
So he's with two other actors. It's Michael Caine and somebody else. Michael Caine's telling a story. I can't remember what the story was about. And then he goes, what's his name? Morgan Freeman goes, I wish I was there, referring to Michael Caine's story. But he was making eye contact with the reporter who's claiming sexual harassment, and she's claiming that him saying that was him being sexually inappropriate with her. And what it seems like in the video is that he's commenting on Michael Caine's story. And it, to me, like, it was clear as day to me that it was nothing overtly sexual. He's at a press conference, for God's sakes. There's like 80 people in the room. And he's on stage. It seemed weird to me.
So going back to Roseanne for a second.
Sure, yeah.
I think one of the reasons why the media, I suppose, is going after her so hard is because she has done so many questionable things in the past that, like, it's almost another, this isn't a surprise thing, but we're going to make it news because it's entertainment.
If she has a history of saying inappropriate things or racist things, then for sure this is appropriate and warranted.
So I just looked it up. So she, in the 90s, apparently she did a lot of questionable things. She sang the Star Spangled Banner but was kind of like making fun of it at the 1990 San Diego Padres game, where at the end she concluded the national anthem with a crotch grab and spitting on the ground.
Wow.
In 1991, she claimed that she had been sexually abused as a child. Her quote is, "My name is Roseanne and I am an incest survivor." And then 20 years later, she recanted and said that it was the worst thing that she ever did and the biggest mistake. Basically, at the time, she was in a bad relationship and was on a lot of psychotic medication, so
she lied about
that.
And
then in 2009, she dressed as Hitler.
Oh no.
I think that's why the Roseanne thing, like, I think press probably paid more attention to her in general because she's likely to just do stuff and say stuff that's like that.
The internet's a weird place though, because people forget that.
I actually don't know too much about any of that. I only found out about the allegations against him yesterday, and I was pretty disappointed when I heard. Just, I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I don't even know what the allegations are. But whoever I was talking to about it, basically, we drew a line or a comparison between Aziz Ansari's situation too.
Yeah,
when he was accused of sexually harassing a woman, but
he was fully acquitted.
Yeah,
he was fully acquitted, wasn't he? Like, there was no charges or anything like that in that case, I think.
No, last time I checked, essentially the woman had brought it up with him directly over text message after she left his house, and he apologized, saying that he didn't realize he was making her uncomfortable. Like, she didn't leave when he tried to make advancements on her. She didn't say no, I guess, other than at one point, and then at that point he stopped. She basically said that using her body language, he should have known there was a huge problem. He basically said that he would learn from the situation, he was truly sorry and everything like that, and yeah, he was acquitted of it. So basically it seemed like the press actually sided with him in that situation, and said that the woman was in the wrong.
Well, good for him. Jeez. Because but good luck getting that goodwill from the press or from the fans back. Like, his hardcore fans, sure, but anybody that even sees that headline, most of the time nowadays, you're just like, ah, fuck, and then they just write them off. You know, even when I saw the Morgan Freeman thing, I was immediately just bummed. I was like, oh, God damn it, man, another one. But that's the thing, that they're not even proven guilty yet. It's just an accusation. But that's enough at this point to be like, oh, for fuck's sakes. And then you just, another one, pile them on, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm reading a bit about Morgan Freeman's accusations right now, and it said that, one is an accusation by a woman who was at a press junket for going in style last year. She was 6 months pregnant at the time.
That's the one.
She said Freeman shook her hand and didn't let go of it for some time while he looked her up and down and said, "You're right," along with several variations of, "I wish I was there."
Well, that's the one she's talking about. When he said, "I wish I was there," you can see that on video.
Oh, okay.
He's talking to Michael Caine, and he's referring to his story. Michael Caine's telling this stupid story, and you see Morgan Freeman go, "I wish I was there." And that's it. And it's like, that what? It's so... I don't know. Maybe I was missing something, but to me, I was like, are you kidding? How did you misconstrue that? But I don't know. I didn't see the other side of it. I didn't see where he was looking or whatever. But to me, it did not appear... That appeared very innocuous.
That's so hard.
It's weird, man.
But, okay, well, here's another...
Not to say he's completely innocent.
To be the biggest example that's posted online, but apparently there's 8 women in total as of May 24th that has accused him of sexual and verbal harassment.
Again, but still, 8... If I don't know. This is... I'm not going to win any followers, but, like, if one woman can... blow that situation up. Like, if you can watch that video and think, like, if there's a question of a doubt that he's clearly just responding to his story, then, you know, what else is there? And that's not to victim blame. He may still be guilty, but innocent until proven guilty, you know? That's how I feel. Like, I think people should be more cautious with these things. Yeah, there are a lot of bad people, but there are definitely people that are having their careers railroaded and their lives ruined over false claims, or not even necessarily false claims, but claims that should be held out of the public eye and at least, like, get some conversation going behind closed doors. You don't need to ruin someone's life over something like that. If it was as relatively innocuous as it seemed to be, then settle that behind closed doors. Like, call your attorney and you know what I mean? Address it that way. But because as soon as you say it on the media, that person's fucked. Whether they're guilty or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah. But now, I think we live in a very litigious time as well. Like, I think this is the way that people unfortunately deal with things. And I think, or I would assume that the perspective is that, say, actually, no, I'm not even going to go there. Say a woman thinks that a man abused her, and in her reality, like from her perspective, that is correct. That's true. Mm-hmm. And maybe from the man's reality or perspective, it isn't true. People, I don't know. I can see so many different perspectives with this, why the woman would want to go to the media to try to get attention towards an issue that she probably doesn't think people are taking seriously and stuff like that. From the man's perspective, I mean, he's getting dragged through the press, and if it turns out that he's not guilty, that's so much damage to their name. Yeah. But the problem is, like, are these people innocent or are they guilty? And that is, I don't know, it's such a disaster.
It's really tough, right? Now, because
it's for everyone to come out about different sexual harassment and verbal harassment issues, which is good that there's more attention being brought to that, and that there's more of a safe haven and a safe space to talk about it. Like, I think that's awesome, and I'm hoping that a lot of victims of sexual assault and various issues can heal. I just hope that nobody's making false allegations.
There's 100% are people. There are people making false allegations. I guarantee it. There is probably a much smaller percentage, of course, but there 100% are people making false allegations. I guarantee it. There have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, apparently Roseanne did that in 1991.
Yeah, for years and held that in. That's awful. That is, you are a terrible, terrible person to bring that attention upon yourself, to like minimize someone else's pain, to, you know what I mean? For people that have been actually hurt, you're not helping them. That's, ugh, that's disgusting. What I was going to bring up earlier, though, was people forget so quickly, like Prince Harry, who just got married, I believe it was Prince Harry, it was one of the princes. Remember he dressed up like a Nazi at a Halloween party? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Google that. Google image that. He went to a Halloween party with like an SS armband on, and, you know, it blew over, I guess. Like, how the fuck can you be a prince of a nation and think that that's okay? How did nobody stop you and be like, hey, you probably shouldn't wear that in public. You're kind of a big deal. But, I mean, he was young and stupid and he made a mistake. And everybody forgave him for that. So, I guess, I don't know. That's kind of my point with Roseanne is that, yeah, people say stupid shit. But, like, I don't know.
Damn. Yeah, apparently in 2002?
Yeah. Yeah, he dressed up like a Nazi.
2005, he dressed up as a Nazi.
And
damn.
That's so recent. What are you doing? Why are you dressing like that in 2005?
Oh, here's even more. In 2009, Harry could be heard calling a fellow soldier our little packy friend and joking that another looked like a raghead.
God. Have fun, Meghan Markle.
And the inevitable public apology that followed. St. James Palace referred to Packy as a term used by the prince without any malice and as a nickname about a highly popular member of his platoon.
See, and okay. But if that's the case and he's forgiven for that, then couldn't it be that Roseanne was just making that comparison because she thought, not because of the black connotation, but because she thought she looked like an ape, or she thought she bore some resemblance to the character in Planet of the Apes. I think, I don't know. She's given no leeway. Like, you can't draw that comparison because apes, black people, you can't say that. But, I don't know. If we've forgiven Prince Harry twice and he's a fucking prince, then Roseanne Barr, comedian and clearly imperfect person, you know, people say shit. People say stupid shit all the time.
People do say stupid shit, but I think, like,
you have to be held accountable, for sure.
Pardon?
I said you have to be held accountable, for sure. But
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think both these people obviously have a lot of attention on them.
Yeah.
And, like, we just be smart. Just, one, don't be that person. And, two, just don't use Twitter stupidly.
Yeah.
This is why people if you suck.
If okay. you thought that there was
I don't understand
a
how people don't realize that what they put out into the universe, either on social media or in real life, literally stays out there. And regarding Prince Harry, like, I guess it's been like 10 years at the very least since any of his issues, and I'm sure the royal family has had a lot to say.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, he also shouldn't have done those things. So I don't know if there's like a weighing of which is worse or what people should do. But I feel like everyone's just, I mean, just don't be stupid. Just stop. Stop being dumb. Everyone just be adults. And I don't know.
Or at least if you're a public figure, run it by somebody before you do these things. How nobody caught Prince Harry before he left the house dressed as a Nazi. Or even, like, where are his friends? If you came to a party or changed at a party, how would none of your friends be like, hey, man, somebody's going to take a picture of that. You should probably change. That's nuts
to me. He was 17 at the time, I think.
Was he?
I think.
Oh, that's pretty young.
Yeah. So I think that's probably young. Why.
And that, see, like, when I think about that Queen's party that happened, people were outraged. Was it last year, that Halloween party?
Yeah, it was last year, the year before.
When I read that, maybe I'm just a more relaxed person than most people, but that didn't get me hyped because they're fucking kids. Like, they're 20 years old. Yeah, it's a stupid thing to do, but, like, let's relax. They're children, you know? Like, they're kids that have never been at a or been away from home for the first time. They're drunk and they think this is a good idea. It's wildly inflammatory and super inappropriate and all that other stuff. But they're 20 years old. What were you doing when you were 20? It's so easy to just act like these people are completely more like racist and everything else. They're probably not racist. They probably just made a stupid decision. I don't think that necessarily means that.
I would think that they're basically ignorant.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know if they're. I would hope they're not racist.
No, like, I don't think so.
From what I saw in the pictures, there wasn't anything that.
Like, nothing you haven't seen in Disney.
There were some things that were like very, very ignorant, to say the least. But the thing is, though, is that apparently this has been an ongoing tradition. Like, this is an ongoing party that happens every single year that the Queen's administration knows about.
Well, that's...
Like, they know about it.
See, that's a bigger issue, then. If Queen's administration knows about it, I mean, it should happen once and then never again. The fact that it happens every year is ridiculous.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it's basically the psychology of groupthink, probably. Like, someone has this idea to dress up as different cultures, in an innocent way.
Yeah.
Like, not in a racist, like, let's make fun of people's different cultures. It was probably started from, like,
I'm sure it did.
A very neutral place.
I'm sure it did.
And then, unfortunately, it's obviously with alcohol, and people just took it too far.
Yeah.
Like,
and
people took it way too far.
I think the response to that...
20 years old or not, they just, like, they took the theme idea and, like, butchered it and made so many people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Queens already makes people feel uncomfortable. Like, and the fact that it came out that this apparently was an ongoing party, it happened every single year. Like, that's when I'm like, okay, no, that's when... I don't think ignorance can be claimed anymore because
no, and but if whose fault is that though?
Knew about it, yeah. They should have stopped it.
If
like, that's so stupid,
that's not necessarily the fault of the students though, because I could see how you could do that innocently. Like Disney did that for years and years and years, but the way to fix that is just a conversation. You don't write these kids off as like, oh, they're racist and whatever white privilege, all that stuff. They're probably just stupid. They're probably just ignorant, and a conversation about cultural sensitivity and like, hey, you can't do that. You know, that's all that really needs to happen. I think I don't know these kids. They are wildly racist, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I just hope that I don't know. I think here is a very unpopular opinion, I'm sure. I have found myself to be targeted before and had many racist comments said directly to me in Kingston, and like growing up I didn't have those issues, but it happened to me when I moved to Kingston, and that's when it started happening heavily. And that's I think when my sensitivity to racism and ignorance kind of spiked, because it made me wary.
I think
the students were just stupid. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I would almost guarantee that I'm sure some of them was like, this is way, like, taking way too out of hand, but groupthink, and everyone seems to be acting like it's okay, so whatever, like, I'm just gonna go along with it and not say anything to try to stop it.
Did you, sorry to cut you off, did you hear about that active shooter video game?
No, I didn't.
It's preposterous, and that's something that I think people are rightly outraged about. Steam, you know what the Steam platform is?
Yeah.
So it was pulled from Steam. The game developers, I think, had all their other games pulled too, but they thought it would be a good idea to release a video game where you play as an active shooter, as a school shooter, and somehow thought that it was okay. And I get like the contrarian point of view that they have, that the developer, after it was pulled, they said, well, how is it any different than being the protagonist in like GTA, where you can kill hookers and everything else? And then, oh, there's another game where there are children in the game and you can actually like not intentionally kill kids, but like they just happen to be there. There are NPC models of kids that happen to die or whatever. But I understand where he's coming from, but you still have to know that, like, you can't do that. That's, people are stupid.
I wonder what the cultural bias is, though, from that, because I'm just reading about it now. So the designer or the developer was from Russia, right?
Right.
So I wonder if, like, I mean, we're so close to the States here, and so whenever there's a school shooting, it kind of hits closer to home. Mm-hmm. I think for us, like, it's Canadians, because we're just like, wow, it's like literally so close and this sucks and it's so painful to see this all the time. I wonder if across the world, if people just aren't as sensitive.
Well, I think about that when I see the sensitivity of the Roseanne thing, because I personally, like I said, I have a different perspective on that tweet, because I could see how she was saying it in not a racist way, but I think in the States, it's like, so during the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight, do you remember that last summer?
Yeah.
In the lead up to that fight, they did 4 press conferences in New York, Toronto, London, and somewhere else, LA. And in the London one, I think it was, Conor McGregor was like making it rain, and he was telling Floyd Mayweather, he was going, "Dance for me, boy. Dance for me." And he's Irish, so he doesn't know that you can't call black people boy, because that has a racial connotation to it. And people were outraged, calling him racist and all that other stuff. And it's like, no, he's not from here. He doesn't understand. He's not from America even. Like, even as Canadians, I don't have any connection to that. But in the States, you can't call a black person boy. Just like you can't even associate them with the word monkey or an ape or whatever. So, I don't know. That's so tough. Like, it's another, like, maybe ignorance or insensitivity, but blatant racism? Probably not.
No, but it's, I think that's, like, the good thing about those types of things happening, though, is that it's an opportunity to literally just educate people, right?
Like, yeah, and the fact that there's a hypersensitivity to it can only really be a good thing. Like, the pendulum will balance out eventually, but I think the fact that there is, like, a zero tolerance for that shit means everybody has to kind of get themselves under control.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily think that if you're a racist, you're probably not going to not be racist. You just won't say it in public, you know?
Yeah, that's why I genuinely think that after Trump became president, I swear it's like he opened the door to so many people feeling comfortable about
absolutely. It emboldened a lot of people.
Racist thoughts and being like, oh yeah, I can totally get away with saying this now, and so I'm gonna.
Because Trump said it, so yeah, for sure. And if you're directly quoting Trump, what can people say, you know?
Yeah, that's so stupid.
Like, if you're just regurgitating and being like, build the wall, fuck them, you know, that is inherently like a racist thing. But because you're hearing the president say it and now you're saying it, that doesn't feel racist, but it absolutely is. It's insane.
Yeah, there's so many issues with that.
Yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, it's like, bizarre.
Yeah,
speaking of Russians, we were talking before we started recording about the Arkady Babchenko plot. So if the listeners aren't familiar, that he's a Russian journalist. I became familiar with him because I read his book. It's called One Soldier's War, and it's one of the most insane, visceral books about combat, military combat, that I've ever read. It's so nuts. He was a conscript in, I think it was 2004, 2005. He went to Chechnya when Russia was fighting Chechnya. And then he volunteered to go back for a second tour. And it's nuts. He just talks about, like, seeing people dying and the horrible, horrendous conditions in the Russian military. And then after he got out, he became a war journalist and a war correspondent and started reporting on politics in Russia. And he became wise, this just happened this week, but he became wise to an assassination attempt against him that he alleges was coming from the Russian government. So they set up a sting operation and faked his death. So he was shot outside of his home bringing in groceries, and they arrested the guy that killed him. And I think it was because the photos that they found on the hitman were only could have been issued by the Russian government, because I think it was like a passport photo type thing, and you only get those in Russia from the Russian government. So they're tying that to the fact that they would have gotten those photos from the FSB, which is their like secret service, which is pretty insane. And it's not uncommon. Like, Putin has been known to have political detractors assassinated.
So this is, Ukraine in on it?
He's been living in Kiev, and the Ukrainians, I think he must have approached them and like, hey, I think there's a plot to kill me. Can you help? So they set up a sting, and the Ukraine special forces or police or whoever it was arrested the guy.
Yeah, because apparently Ukraine's government falsified his death.
Yes.
So they would have had to have been, that's interesting.
Yeah, they faked his death. I don't even think his wife knew about it. They made it look like he was shot 4 times and that word would get back and blah, blah, blah. And then I think it was the very next day he held a press conference and said, we got him. This is what's happening. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks or the next year. Like, if he's just untouchable now, because this is like, if he dies mysteriously in the next year, some crazy shit. It would not surprise me.
So how long did he wait between his fake death and announcing he was alive?
I think it was like a day. It wasn't very long.
Oh, I thought it was
like years.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
No, I think it was only like 24 or 48 hours. It wasn't very long. Because all they wanted to do was capture the guy that did it. Because I think what had happened was they said this is when it's going to happen or where it's likely to happen. So we'll make it look like it's already happened. And then when the guy shows up or whatever, we'll nab him. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, so he had apologized to his wife and all others that believed he had been killed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's shit. How crazy would that
so
be?
So brutal.
Yeah. But that sounds like it was his only way out. I imagine if he hadn't done that, because I think Putin has been known to say things like, listen, if we wanted you dead, you'd be dead, which is... such a gangster thing to say. Like, could you imagine if, I mean, I don't think that type of thing happens in the United States, but maybe. I guess it does. It probably does. Like, people that support WikiLeaks have been found dead in suspicious circumstances. It probably happens everywhere. Not in Canada, because we're nice.
That's terrifying. I mean, it probably definitely happens everywhere.
It for sure happens everywhere.
I have a book.
I have a book about that. That it happens in countries that it happens, and like what's it called? I don't know if I have it anymore. But yeah, it's all about the murder of journalists in other countries and how prevalent that is. It's obviously far more prevalent in developing nations or nations that are currently in conflict. But yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm wondering, has anything like that ever happened in North Korea?
Probably, but I don't think we'd ever hear about it because it's just, they do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I remember thinking about this a while back. You've never met a North Korean, have you?
No. How would you?
Exactly. But that's what I mean. You've never met, like, and probably never will, meet someone from North Korea. I've met people from all over the world. Never met a person from North Korea. Probably never will. Because they're just not allowed to leave.
Is it possible? Like, I actually remember watching something on YouTube about what it's like if someone tries to escape. Like, don't they get shot?
Yeah,
like,
there's a wild video just recently of a soldier who did escape. And you can see the video. He's driving over the demarcation zone. And they just light his car up. Like, they riddle it with bullets, and he gets shot something like 5 times trying to escape, and he does escape. He lived, and he made it to South Korea, and they I don't think they send him back. But even, I suppose, even if you did meet somebody from North Korea, they'd probably never say that they're from North Korea. Like, why would you ever admit that? You'd be so afraid to be sent back. But have you ever seen the Vice documentary on North Korea?
No, I haven't.
It's chilling. It's so bizarre. I think it's Shane, I can't remember his last name. He's one of the creators of Vice, and he takes like a hidden cam into North Korea. I don't know what the premise is, because I didn't think press junkets were allowed in North Korea, but they set up this elaborate, like it's an elaborate ruse. They get there and there's like this huge banquet hall set up for them, but they're the only ones there. And the servers keep bringing out food for tables and people that aren't there. Like, they're literally, there's two people there, and it's to like show off their abundance and how wealthy they are. So they, it's a full like ballroom with tables all set for people that aren't there, and they keep setting down food and big trays and stuff for people that are not there. It's so bizarre. And it's literally like watching a movie. It's like watching like the Truman Show or something. Like, it's all just been staged, how wealthy they are and how well they're doing. And it's like they're stuck in the 50s or 40s or something, because they're clearly just so far behind technologically. But
huh.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's nuts. Yeah, I think you can check it out on YouTube. I think it's probably only like 20 minutes long. It's really fascinating.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, so tell people about yourself. We've been talking here for 40 minutes. I haven't even told people who you are yet. Melissa is the owner of Improbable Escapes. How'd you get started?
So I'm the co-owner of Improbable Escapes. So Emma Rochon is the other owner. We met a few years ago, actually working for another escape room in Southwestern Ontario, I suppose.
Okay. Pause right there for
a
sec.
We've been working there for about a year. I had been working there for about a year, Emma for about 6 months. It was horrible working conditions, and we kind of really liked escape rooms though, so we quit. And we like both went to different careers. I started working in property management. Emma, I think, started working in accounting or something related to bookkeeping, maybe. And then a few weeks later, we were still talking, and we were like, hey, escape rooms are actually pretty cool. I wonder if we could kind of do it. And then we started traveling through Ontario, trying to think of a good city that we could open up in. And we traveled to Kingston. It was a beautiful day. And we saw a space, loved it, basically signed it, and decided to move to Kingston like 3 weeks later. So it was a very fast turnaround.
Really quick. That's awesome. Tell people that may not know what an escape room is.
An escape room is basically where you get locked in a room and you have to try to escape. So that's the traditional explanation of what an escape room is. It's basically kind of like
it's a puzzle game room.
Yeah. So, for example, for the rooms that we have in Improbable Escapes, there's a main mission or a main goal. So you start at the beginning, you solve your first puzzle, and then you basically keep solving puzzles to try to get to your end goal. And then we do some games at historic sites and at some Parks Canada sites and stuff like that, where we gamify history. So we take a real story that's happened at some point in history and create a game around it, so we can try to educate the public on a real story, and make it entertaining, so people place higher value on it, and
I love that.
They treat it more important and stuff like that than if they were, let's say, in a lecture, for example.
Yeah.
So
I love your offsite events ideas. Those are great. So what was, you were working in an escape room before this. What, did you have any background in business or anything like that before that? Or other than just working at the escape room, what is like your education for that?
I have a weird education. So I went to the University of Waterloo for computer science and then psychology. And then I went to Conestoga College for pre-service firefighting. And then I didn't finish off firefighting because essentially a bunch of Fire Departments of Ontario signed on to this new testing program where we have a 2020 perfect vision. Either corrected or uncorrected, and I can't get LASIK and I wear contacts. So I was basically like, well, there's no point in me finishing off this program. So I didn't. And then we moved in.
Do you find that there were any transferable skills for those courses that you took, or the diplomas or degrees?
I think so. I feel like most people I know that are business owners, they didn't actually ever study business. I think it's just like the best business owners I know and like the most knowledgeable people that I know all have like the craziest and most diverse background, just because they can draw upon so many different experiences that they've had. So I think for me, like, psychology, I think, just generally helps with talking to people or understanding different things. Computer science is actually proven quite useful. Like, I can, like, design websites and stuff like that, and it's easier for me to understand that type of thing. And computer science is under the faculty of math, and there's a lot of math when it comes to finances for businesses.
Yes.
And then with pre-service firefighting, I actually gained a lot of knowledge about the building code, fire code, which was also really, really helpful, because for escape rooms, you're basically always building.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of situations at Apollo Escapes where we're like, I wonder if we can actually do that. Like, can we put this thing by a staircase, for example? And then just with my education behind the building code, it's easy for me to like wrap my head around what's happening, or to be able to look it up and for us to find those answers. So
when you guys do a new room, do you have to contact the city of Kingston each time?
No, because we use floating walls and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's lucky. Because I would see that being a nightmare if you had to, every time you altered something, you had to get the fire inspector in there. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do have inspectors that do go through yearly, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What are you guys working on right now?
We just finished a game for the Communications and Electronics Museum on the base.
Oh, amazing. Love that place.
Pretty sweet. Didn't know that museum existed.
It's so neat.
Which is kind of embarrassing.
I've been there a couple times.
It's like a spy museum.
Yeah.
Which is super neat. It's so cool. People should go. It's free to enter.
Yeah.
So you can literally just drive down to the base and enter this really awesome spy museum.
Is it only open certain days?
I think it's open Mondays to Saturdays, 11 to 5, maybe, or something like that.
It'll take you like an hour. And
we literally Googled the Communications and Electronics Museum.
Yeah.
We didn't find it.
It's pretty neat.
And they have a brand new exhibit, or I think they've already had the pieces for the exhibit for a while, but it's a Camp X exhibit that they're redoing. So we're coming out with a game about Camp X.
Cool. What is that?
Yeah. It basically, it's Camp X?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so I think it's...
Am I woefully ignorant here?
Number 102 I don't remember what the title is. But basically, it's where... Oh, man, I'm going to totally butcher this, and it's going to be so embarrassing. It's where people learn where to be spies.
Oh, neat. Actually. That's so cool. So you can do an escape room while you pretend to be a spy.
Special training school number 103. So it's one number off, which was a World War II British paramilitary installation for training covert agents and the methods required for success in clandestine operations.
Sick. So you guys are designing an escape room around that.
Yeah, so basically it's so fun. It's you have to become a spy.
That's so cool. So when is that?
And you're trying to prove that you can become a spy, and at the end, you get to take your photo with a spy certificate, because that's super secretive.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Just faces blacked out. That'd be hilarious. That'd be jokes. So when are you guys opening that? When are you guys going to start accepting people?
It's actually already accepting people.
Oh, is it? Cool.
So we went and we trained the museum staff on it. This is the first experience that we've done at a museum that's hands-off, which is kind of stressful, but exciting nonetheless.
Right, because you want to deliver the same experience and stuff.
Sorry?
I said because you want to deliver the same experience, but you're training them to do it?
Exactly, yeah. Basically, I'm a control freak. No, but...
I get it.
Yeah, it's just so much easier to control things when it's in-house, and you can see it, and you can I don't know, that you can just see it. You can,
yeah,
you can,
well, you just want
be like, hey, you're doing this thing incorrectly, let's help you. But when it's off site and it's not your staff, it's just a bit more stressful.
It's your product, and you don't know day to day how they're if their customer service skills are where you need them to be. But you know that your team has good customer service skills and they know how to deliver your product and everything else. So I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure the museum is great and their staff is great.
Really, I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's already out, so people can go and play it there. It's not a traditional escape room, but you get to check out lots of real, cool, authentic spy stuff. So totally worth it.
You get to be a spy. Sounds fun. I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the transferable skills, it's so true. Like, I don't have any background in business at all, obviously, but I did find that, like, psychology and having a background in psychology as far as marketing is concerned, but understanding what motivates people is super useful in business. And even how to talk to people, how to upsell people, that type of thing. It's so useful. And I suppose, like, if you studied business, but I don't know too many people that have studied business that would want to do, like, a funky type of small business idea. Like, I wouldn't expect somebody who has studied business to open a cat cafe, you know?
Yeah.
They feel like the more serious, like, no, I want to own a corporation someday that does millions and millions of dollars in sales.
Exactly. I think most people that study business, they aren't necessarily looking to be a business owner. I think looking to be in high-level management, which is awesome. People need those people, too.
Yeah, they have to exist, but that would not be my dream. I would never want to be like, I aspire to be, you know, upper middle management.
why not?
Why would if you're gonna strive, like, aspire to be that high, why wouldn't you be like, eventually the CEO? I mean, why would, I guess that there is significant headaches that come with being the owner, but why wouldn't you just reach that extra little bit higher?
Well, I mean, I think being a business owner is, like, real hard, and I don't think those that aren't business owners get it. Like,
yeah, it is.
I think one of, like, my least favorite things that I hear about, or, like, when I talk to people about business and those that aren't business owners that are like, well, for my professional experience, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you don't get it.
No.
Like, you literally, unless you've had an actual business with actual employees, or even if you don't have employees, but you're making revenue, making profit, like, unless you're in that boat, you don't get it.
No, people don't get it. And especially it's being an entrepreneur and selling things is one thing, but as someone who, if you have overhead, even the effect that a million different things can have on your business, like, you just wouldn't get it. If you're, say, somebody who just has an Etsy store, and you're making little crafts or whatever from your home, and you don't have any overhead, you can walk away at any time, that's one thing, and kudos to you for doing that. But to talk to somebody like yourself or myself who have, you know, $15,000 in bills a month that they have to make, otherwise it's your business goes sewered, then they just people don't know. And I'm pretty forgiving of that, because I didn't know before I opened a business everything that was involved either. So you can't, you don't know what you don't know. Like, you can't expect people to understand until they've had that experience, because it is a lot.
Yeah, it is. Like, even, like, for small business owners that are, let's say, Etsy shop owners, I don't know what the actual term is.
Like, I think that's correct.
I'm sure there's so many other stressors that come too with that. Like,
for sure.
Power to those people for being self-motivated and being able to market themselves and stuff like that. Because I think that's so hard in its own way. Like, I do.
Yeah.
Whenever I talk to people that do that kind of stuff,
it's just different.
Like,
that's
all. I value their opinion, and I can totally learn from those people. I would say it's more, I mean, more like people that have never even worked in a small business before that try to give me advice on certain things.
And yeah.
I appreciate it, but it's just, it's so off base sometimes, and it's
yeah,
just
it
hard.
Can be. Yeah, yeah, you got to take people's advice with a grain of salt. Like, I don't know. You just, I appreciate it. Okay, thank you. I'll try. And it's sometimes useful, though, because I don't know. I've always tried to be open with feedback because those people are often your customers. And what they're telling you is, here's something that could improve from a customer's perspective. And yeah, it's kind of it's a humbling thing too, to be like, okay, I hear you and I'll try and implement that, as opposed to like, please stop trying to give me business advice. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think balance.
Advice coming from customers is completely different. Like,
yeah.
People that have come to our business and is like, hey, just so you know, I didn't like this thing about your business. Like, it sucks to hear when people are like, oh, I didn't like this. But then we grow from that situation. We implement something to change it. Like, we can learn. We literally can learn from the situation. So I think it's awesome when customers are able to say something about a business, specifically directly to the right people. Like, whenever we get an email that's like, hey, just want to let you know about this thing that happened, I genuinely appreciate it. I genuinely appreciate it. I would say, like, I just find it kind of funny and kind of whatever is when I usually meet people for the first time and they ask what I do, and then I tell them that I own or co-own an escape room, and we get into talking about it, and then they have all of these ideas and feedback. You don't even know what an escape, like, 5 minutes ago, you didn't even know what an escape room is.
Yeah, it's exhausting to listen to sometimes when people are like, oh, have you ever tried this? And their heart's probably in the right place, but then you're like, do you know how much that costs or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, do you have any idea?
That's something that other business owners, I think, get it. Like,
yeah.
When you talk to other small business owners about stuff, they're all like, yeah, we totally get it.
Yeah.
It's just...
My cousin owns SBT Comics right next to the cafe there. And I would never presume to give him any, like, we shoot the shit about business all the time, but I would never presume to give him advice or suggestions about it, because I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to like comic books or anything like that. I have no idea about that world, so I try to keep that to a minimum, because I understand he's probably just humoring me and then grinding his teeth. He's like, yeah, just stick to coffee, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Most likely.
For sure.
So we've been talking for an hour. It seems like a good place to let everybody know. This is a terrible place to end it, but I'm going to. Southpaw is now closed. We closed on Friday permanently for business, and it's a super sad time for me. But Melissa is going to come back on Tuesday night to record a separate episode about business and everything that customers may not know about. I think you said you've been through this same thing, right? Closing a business?
Yeah, been through that.
Yeah, so it sucks, and there's a lot of things that people don't consider. Like, I've told some of my regulars about it so far, and now obviously everybody knows, but yeah, a lot of people are just kind of like, ah, you'll find something else, you know? Just wasn't in the cards or whatever, and it's, I appreciate the sentiment, but that's another thing where it's like, man, you just don't know. You just don't know what happens when a business closes. Like, there's so much that goes into it. There's so much to consider. It's not as easy as just closing the doors and walking away.
Yeah.
It's such a headache. I've been stressed for about a month now. But
yeah.
We'll get into that on Tuesday. I'm in good spirits right now. I have a job. I have two jobs lined up, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, one of them is with a marketing position. It's entry level, but I don't know. It should be fun. And then the other one is back to kind of what I was doing. It'll be in the same field as education, so that'll be good. That'll just be part-time, but got to do what I got to do. So, yeah.
Definitely.
And we can talk about more on that on Tuesday. So that episode will be released Wednesday morning. So if you want to know what's going on with Southpaw and get some more insight, listen up then. Melissa, did you have anything else to say?
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We'll definitely,
of course, anytime. Yeah,
we'll do it again Tuesday and then in the future when you guys have more games out and stuff like that.
All right,
everyone, we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Thank you, Melissa, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.
God, I swear I wanted to keep that light and fun, but we always end up having conversations that are controversial or dark or whatever. I promise I'll be back with some light content soon, but that's just where they go, you know? So Melissa and I are going to record again on Tuesday night, so you'll be able to hear that Wednesday morning if you're looking for insight into the Southpaw situation. It breaks my heart, but it is what it is. That's life. So we'll talk more about it later. Thanks, guys. Bye.